What a great time of worship.
And it's always great to worship with you as we celebrate the Lord. As we love Jesus, we love each other, and we like to praise our Savior together. Over the past few weeks, we've been engaged in a discussion in the importance of aiming at godliness in our lives. And if we desire and intend to honor God with our lives, then we need to aim at godliness. As Ziegler said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And so we need to purpose in our heart, we need to purpose in our lives that we want to be something in Jesus. And we've come to understand that if we don't actively aim at, if we don't actively pursue godliness in our lives, the influence of the world and the depravity of our own sin nature and the powerful impact that the dark forces will have on us, maliciously and intentionally and persistently seek to lead us away from God. And so if we are not on guard, if we do not set our sights on aiming at godliness, we will stumble easily. It's an oxymoron to think that we can be spiritually passive and godly at the same time. And so this morning, I'd like to finish our discussion on the why. Why would it be a reasonable request for the Apostle Paul to invite Timothy and all believers to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and to be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? That seems like an extreme invitation, doesn't it? Come on, folks, let's go suffer today. Last week, we pointed out that suffering for things we love to do is a normal part of life experiences. Last week, we used the illustration that everyday people will make sacrifices and suffer for the things that they feel are important and for the things that they love. We use the example like parenthood and the sacrifices and suffering parents are willing to make for their children. We talked about American freedom and the sacrifices and suffering that people make for American freedom. We talked about hobbies like hunting and golf and the sacrifices people make to enjoy their hobbies. And for in reflection of these thoughts of sacrifices of suffering, I was reading the sports page this week, and I noticed some scores from high school football games. And as I thought back to my high school years many years ago when we used to go by horse and wagon to school, though I didn't play football, I thought about the sacrifices made by my friends to play varsity high school football. Now, these athletes, they would start school 2 weeks early, or they would start practices 2 weeks before school began, and they would do double sessions to get in shape and to get ready for the football season. They were physically and emotionally challenged to the max as they disciplined their bodies for the game that they enjoyed playing. In their early training, their bodies hurt, their muscles hurt, they were tired and they were exhausted, having voluntarily devoted precious summer vacation days to the task of getting prepared for the football season. They aimed at football success, and they were willing to pay the price for that football success, sacrifice, suffering, bearing up under difficult circumstances. Therefore, it's not an unusual or abnormal thing for people to make sacrifices or to suffer or to bear up under difficult circumstances for the things they love to do. It's normal. It's a normal response to invest our time and our talents and treasures in the things that we love to do. Think about the things that you love to do in life. What is the cost of your involvement in your favorite hobby or the things that you enjoy doing? Do you live the will of God and live godly for His honor and glory with the same passion and the same commitment? You see, the reason the call to suffering for the sake of the gospel seems like a normal and reasonable request as Christ followers is because in our hearts, we desire to glorify God, don't we? Is that not a passion on your in your heart to glorify God? And so a willingness to sacrifice or suffer, to bear up under difficult circumstances is a normal thing. And what about the concept that souls matter to God? And because souls matter to God, they matter to us. And because they matter to us, we find it of importance and essential in our life that we would be willing to make sacrifices and to suffer and to bear up under difficult circumstances in order to see those lost souls come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It seems like that would be a normal attitude, a normal thing in our heart and soul as we love Jesus and seek to glorify Him. With this idea of souls mattering to God lingering on my mind, I asked myself, what would cause me to love God and the gospel enough to be willing to sacrifice, suffer, and bear up under difficult circumstances? And here are some of the answers I came up with. Here are some of the noteworthy reasons to consider suffering for the gospel. First of all, the gospel has been of great value and worth to me in my life in eternity. I mean, I think about to what life was like when I didn't know Jesus. And then when Jesus invaded my life and called me to Himself and I trusted Christ as my Savior, whoa, things changed. And because of what God has done for me, it causes me to love Him. And so because of what the gospel means to me, I would be willing to suffer and sacrifice for it. Secondly, I'm willing to suffer for the gospel because I love God and I desire to personally serve Him. That's a good reason to be willing to suffer and sacrifice for the gospel because, you know, I like golf. I'm willing to suffer for it. I love my family. I'm willing to sacrifice and suffer for them. And I love God and I desire to glorify Him. Am I willing to make the same commitment? Third, I'm willing to suffer and sacrifice for the gospel because of the privilege it is to be part of God's rescue plan in the life of a non-believer. I mean, think about that. God using you to be part of His plan and His instrument of righteousness to lead some other individual to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What would you sacrifice for that? How would you be willing to invest yourself to be part of the plan that results in somebody else coming to know Christ as their Savior? So when Paul says about not being ashamed of the testimony of Christ and suffering for the sake of the gospel, those are some pretty good reasons. Some pretty good reasons to make that commitment as a believer. These reasons alone are great reasons to put it all on the line for Jesus, to have a willingness to suffer for the sake of the gospel. In reality, there's no greater investment we can make, no greater joy than we can have than to be part of seeing somebody else come to know Jesus and be transformed into the kingdom of God. Sacrifice and suffering seem incidental or insignificant when you watch somebody bow their knee before Jesus and accept Christ as Savior. As I wrote this paragraph for today's message, a sobering thought came to my mind. And though I didn't come up with absolute answers to this challenging question, I felt compelled to consider in my heart and to challenge you today with these thoughts. How much difficulty am I willing to endure? How much hardship am I willing to experience? How much stress am I willing to bear to give someone the opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior? You know, Jesus says if someone goes to build a house, they count the cost. They consider what it takes. What would you be willing to invest for those things? How much of me, how far am I willing to go? How hard am I willing to work for the salvation of another soul? Am I willing to make it a top priority in my life to invest my time, talents, and treasures to serve the will of God, especially in those moments when it seems inconvenient and hard to do? Whoa. These thoughts were hard ones to wrestle with because it is a direct challenge to all my current comfort zones in life. As I reflect on all the things I value, all the things that I enjoy in this life, as I think about all the things that have been accumulated over 63 years of life, and when I consider all the things that I feel like make me happy in life, am I willing to give up none of them for Jesus? Am I willing to give up some of them for the salvation of somebody else? Am I willing, if God would ask me to give up all of them, would I be willing to do it in the name of Jesus? So the question I wrestled with was, am I willing to give God my top priority in my life? Or do I only give God my leftovers? My leftovers of time during the week, if I have any. My leftovers of money, if I have any at the end of the week. Because I spent everything else on the things that I wanted. My leftover time and talent. If I will give God my time and my talent if he can just make it conveniently fit into my schedule. Because I might have some things that I want to do for me. This question nipped at my heels this week. Does God get my best? Does he get my highest priority in love? Does he get my highest priority in service? Does he get my highest priority in worship of him? As I pondered these things, I realized that I can get caught up in the routines of life. You know, doing things the same way, day after day, that pretty soon I become comfortable with my routines. And spiritually, I can kind of go on autopilot and I quit dreaming outside of the box of possibly what God might call me to do that is significant and wonderful in the lives of other people. Also, I get into my routines of worship and service for God that I just kind of go into autopilot on my regular duties for Jesus. My devotional life becomes a routine where I got my chapter read for the day, check the box, move on, without really taking some self-introspection in regard to what the Word says and how God might want me to apply it to myself. But I got it read. I got it done. The box has been checked. We can get caught up in our routines. For me, perhaps it's something different for you. Each Sunday, it's time to preach a sermon. So, boy, I got to go find a sermon to preach because there's going to be some people there on Sunday and they're expecting a sermon from the pastor. And I can write all kinds of theological things and I can share doctrinal truth and I can come up with some great illustrations. But I can do all of that without letting it pass through the filter of my heart. And we can do that same thing in whatever area it is that God has called us to do. We're supposed to be kind. We're supposed to be loving. Okay, so I'm going to go do something kind for somebody. Check it off the box. And we lose our passion, our heart for what it is that God has called us to do. Let's face it, we're a convenience-driven society. That is how we're taught to think in our culture about convenience and self. That's how the worldly system works in our society. But Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Our calling is to a different standard than what the world aspires to. It's a different standard than what the non-believer might aspire to. So just a bit of food for thought. When is the last time that you have done something bold for God? When is the last time you've been shaken out of your normal routine by God to do something different than you normally do because you know that God asked you to do it? Now, I'm not saying that we need to all go out and find something to do that we haven't done in order to jump through a spiritual legalistic hoop to prove that we're listening to God. What I'm talking about here is that, do you believe that God wants you to grow in your life and your ministry for Him, that He's going to be about the business of stretching you in some area of your life to step out and do something for Him that is beyond yourself? Or does God just have to work in the little box of what we think He ought to do? My thought process is this. Do you believe, yea, do you expect that God might want to use you in some supernatural way in somebody's life this week? You know, God can use Susan in a supernatural way. He can use Doug in a supernatural way. He can use Jack in a supernatural way. God desires to use His people in a supernatural way to touch the lives of other people, to leave His fingerprints on their life, to immerse them in His love. And He desires to use you and us in that supernatural way to do that in the world around us. During my Bible college days, I worked to earn money for college. I served in a local church. I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then if there was a discipleship group, I was part of that. I ministered at the rescue missions in Salem and in Portland on weekends. And one of the major emphases in my study was to be local church-minded. I mean, I'm in Bible college, and so local church is rather important. I'm studying to be a pastor, so I ought to be active in a local church. Thus, as a Bible college student, we were expected to participate in local church services each week, each Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and whenever else the door was open. However, I remember as I was going through my college career that I would miss church on Wednesday nights, and I'd miss church on Sunday nights, and this is not to be interpreted in a legalistic kind of thing, but get my point here. I would miss the midweek service, and I would say to myself, I can't make it to church on Sunday, and I can't make it to church on Wednesday because I have studies to do, papers to write, tests to take on Thursday and on Monday. And so I'd skip Sunday evening service because as a responsible student and preparing to serve the local church, I would have to stay home and study to see how to serve the local church. And so I planned to miss church on Wednesday night and Sunday night for study reasons to serve the local church. To me, this was a wholesome and noble and responsible thing to do because I was preparing to serve God in full-time Christian service and ministry, and I needed to be well prepared with a good theological education, and I was in college to study, so studying was my priority. So one day we had this chapel speaker come to church, and he was speaking from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed more than the fat of rams. And so, well, God and I had a conversation that morning as a result of this message we heard. And the conversation went something like this, God speaking. So, it is because you're preparing to serve me in my local church that you're skipping church tonight, huh, Kent? You need to stay home and study about how to serve me in my church. Is that right? I said, yes, God, that's right. I'm dedicated to prepare so I can one day serve as pastor of a local church. God spoke, what are you doing this afternoon? I responded, I'm playing flag football. Then I'm going to the coffee shop lounge to socialize with my friends. And then I must go to the mall to get some stuff that I need. In my mind, I thought these were all good things to do. God spoke. It appears to me that you're skipping church not because of your studies, but because you want to play flag football and because you want to go down to the student lounge and socialize and because you want to go to the mall. I got a deal for you, God said. How about if you study this afternoon and then show up at church on Wednesday nights and work in the Awana program and help lead kids to the Lord? How about that one? And so then God gently pointed out to me that in the noble pursuit of study, that you can serve me better, maybe just by starting to serve me better. You can serve me better maybe by just serving me better. And so, God, you know, He has a way of saying things to get your attention at times, doesn't he? So that day, I acted on my takeaway, and from that conversation, each week I'd start with a blank sheet of paper with 7 days broken up in half-hour increments. And I started a weekly calendar. And I decided that if God was going to be my priority, I had to schedule my time in the manner that would indicate that God was my priority. So first on my calendar, I put down my personal touch points with God. Where were my devotions going to fit into my day? Where were my prayer times going to fit into my day? Where were my Bible study times going to fit into my day? When were the church services that I felt God had called me to attend and the places he called me to minister? So those all went in red on my calendar. Those were the important things. And then second in blue, I would add my calendar, my class schedule. When did I need to be at class? Because, you know, going to college, you ought to show up to class. And then third, I put in my schedule how much time did I think my homework and studying would take, and then I made my little boxes in purple on my chart, and these were my study times. And then I would negotiate with myself my other priorities that I needed to fulfill in my life, the oil change for the car, the shopping, the washing of clothes, and then I would add to my schedule my social life. Now, there were times, I admit, that I didn't follow through, and there were times that I purposely changed my schedule, and I adjusted a priority knowing that, hey, this study time that I have set aside, we're having a get-together for a flag football game, and so I'm going to go do that. But I knew that I was counting the cost that if I did that, I'm losing 2 hours of sleep that night because these other things still needed to be done. It was a count cost measure for me in terms of time. This is what Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We can live life in the way that we have our schedule full of all kinds of stuff. Things that, obligations, places we want to go, things we want to do, hobbies we want to fulfill. And somebody comes along and says, hey, would you come be part of this Bible study group we're going to have? It's going to be for 10 weeks. It's going to be on Tuesday nights. It's going to be from 6 to 8. I want to invite you to come to that. Oh, I can't do that. That's my golf league night. And so we don't really take it to the Lord and say, God, what is it that you would really desire from me in this? We just look at our schedule and say, I'm already busy there, so no, I can't do it. And so we don't give consideration to how the Lord is speaking to our lives and guiding our hearts in the way that would cause us to become spiritually strong and faithful. And as a result, we just stay in our routine of how we do things, and things never change. The schedule will either manage you or you will manage the schedule. If you want things to happen for Jesus rather than just stumbling into them by accident, maybe pursuing them will help you be more productive with Jesus. Proverbs 23, 17 through 19 says this, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise and direct your heart in the way." Do not let your heart envy sinners. Now, I think the idea behind that is that the world has its way of doing things. And we can become desirous of the way that the world does things. And we can see people out there having fun and recreating and doing all these kinds of things that our hearts begin to envy what they're doing. And so pretty soon we begin to make trade-offs in terms of our spiritual walk with God because we envy what the world's doing and we want to be part of that. But God says, that live in fear of the Lord always. Now, do you think God speaks to us because he wants to be harsh to us, or is he speaking to us because he desires good to come to our lives? And if God speaks to us because he desires good to come to our lives, then maybe organizing our priority, our set of priorities, the things we do around what God asks us to do, is a better means by which to live this life than to follow after the things of the world. So why is not being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and why is suffering for the sake of the gospel a reasonable and normal request for us? God saved us. We saw that last week. He called us with the holy calling. We saw that last week. And as I pondered on those two thoughts that we discussed last week, one question I had to ask myself is, what is this holy calling thing? Something I focused on in regard to my salvation in eternity is that I was offered this salvation by a holy God for one reason and one reason only. God loves me. God loves me. That's the reason salvation has been offered to me by God, because God loves me. You were offered the invitation to become a partaker of God's divine nature because God loves you. Think about that thought in the quietness of your mind for a moment and see if you can be awed by that thought that God loves you. Think about what that looks like, that God loves you. And that is the reason that he sent his son to die for you. Can you get your arms around that? I mean, man, that's so big that I can only stand like this in relationship to it because it's such a large thought that I can't, my arms aren't long enough to get around it. God loves me. Say it out loud. God loves me. One more time. God loves me. Isn't that a great thought? Isn't that a great feeling? Isn't that a great truth to dwell upon? As I thought about God loves me, I thought about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I thought about 1 John 4:19, we love because God first loved us. I thought about Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his love to us. I thought about Romans 8:30, who will be able to separate us from the love of God? I thought about 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ controls us. I spend some time dwelling on Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the age to come we might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. Now, given all this that we've talked about this morning, reflect upon Paul's invitation to Timothy. Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Normal? Normal request? That in our love for Jesus, that this would be something that we desire, that we aspire to, because it is not unreasonable, because the things we love and the things we love to do are the things that we are willing to make sacrifices for, to suffer for, and to bear up under difficult circumstances for. I had some other things that I wanted to share with you today, but I think I'm going to close there this morning. As you give consideration to your life, your walk, your commitment, your first priority, your first love for your life, would you just take a moment to just kind of close your eyes and bow your head. And you have a you and God conversation in this moment. It isn't about the church. It isn't about the pastor. It's about you. It's about you and that God loves you. And do you believe that God wants to use you in some supernatural way this week to accomplish his kingdom building in the lives of people? Do you believe that God desires to use you in some supernatural way to make a difference in somebody's life in some small or big way? Do you believe that the God of the universe wants to use you, your life, in that way? And if you believe that, are you making the commitment to pursue that, to follow after that? Are you willing to say to the Lord, yes, Lord, you call, I'll follow. You lead, I'll follow. So you and God just have that conversation for a moment here as you give consideration to that. Father, we're told in this passage of 2 Timothy 1 that the gospel, that it is the power that abolishes death and brings to us life and immortality. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for loving us in such a way. As we have opportunity to reflect in our own hearts, in our own personal comfort zone, and going through the routines and the conveniences of our life, Lord, help us to sort it out. Would your witness, please, your spirit, please bear witness with our spirit. And as you speak to our hearts, God, would you help us to listen? To listen with a spirit to respond. And though we might not know what you're doing in each other's life right now in this room, Lord, you and each individual know. And that's really the most important thing. Guide us, Father. Help us to respond well to the guidance you give. And help us to be loyal and faithful to the calling that you've placed upon our hearts. In all the things that we own and possess, and all the things that we might like to do, might you be our first priority in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I don't want to take but a moment here to give you an opportunity to respond to today's message. What stood out to you? What did God prick your heart on? Is anybody willing to take a risk and share how God has spoken to your heart today, or perhaps a way in which God is choosing to work in you? Anybody willing to take that risk?